The Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Try their Tour B ball today. By the club at Sea Palms. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community. And by Club Car, leader in sport utility and personal vehicles. On the show, we're going to talk with John Deulis of Golf Training Aids about what's coming out, a couple of their new items that they've got, the draw board and the power shift. That should be interesting to help you with your golf game. We're also going to talk with Jim Ireland of Box Toe. It's a golf shoe. Jim used to work for FootJoy, so Box Toe is a new shoe that's come out the last 2 or 3 years. And then we'll end the show with Phil Kenyon, the director of putting at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. And one of the things Phil did was he was helping players on both the American, the USA, and the European team during the Ryder Cup. And he said that was sometimes a challenge. So welcome to the show. And we'd like to go now with John Deulis of Golf Training Aids. John, welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hey, Rich, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I always love talking to you because I'm a freak on golf training aids. I always think this is the one that's going to help me get to where I need to go. And obviously that's why you have such a selection. So let's go over your newer things that you've got, the draw board and the power shift.
Yeah. So it's the two new products. And by the way, you're not alone. my local club, I think I get interrupted at least a couple times a day when I'm there, and what can fix this or what can fix that, and what should I get? And so you're not alone. There's a lot of us out there who are trying to get better, and you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're trying to accomplish, is create solutions for golfers to improve right. The game. Yeah. So again, thanks for having me on. The two new products I'm really, really excited about, and this is really our first venture with Dan Frost, used to be on the Golf Channel. He's the CEO of Shore Golf over in the UK, and we contracted with him as our head of product development, because I think we figured out that, you know, there's a lot of technical things that go into the golf swing, and when you're creating training aid products or training aid solutions, it's best to get someone who's really qualified and understands the technical side of the golf swing. So,
right.
The first two products we're coming out with Dan is the draw board and the power shift board. So I'll talk about the power shift board first. You know, I've had products where I try to improve my weight transfer and sequencing in the golf swing. And I have a tendency to sway when I play, and
totally understand that.
And it's really important to stay stable and transition your way from, as a right-handed golfer, from right to left, and the sequencing and the timing and everything is so important. So we created a product, again, the power shift board, which you stand on, and it's really effective in trying to get the feel and the sensation of transferring your weight at the right time.
Right.
What we did that's different than other products in the marketplace is we put springs on the front left side, so that you have to feel the sensation of, again, as a right-handed golfer, pushing down on that left foot to transfer the weight properly. And then we also added a key component, which is an audible component, where you can hear the clicking. So when you're practicing your swing on the power shift board, not only can you feel the weight transfer, you can hear it. And
okay,
you know, the most successful training aids are ones that provide immediate feedback. And one of the things that Dan believes in, and I agree with him 100%, is there's nothing worse for a golfer when you have to process too much information. You want to be able to learn through sensation and feeling the correct way to hit a golf ball. So we're really focusing on products. One, that you don't have to process a lot of information. You can feel it. And we also want to make sure that it's a product that can be used at home. Because I think too often products are created for golfers that have to be used outdoors. And, you know, unless you're living like us and you're in Georgia and I'm in Florida, where we can, you know, we can be outside all year. The majority of the country is not able to do that during the winter months. So we wanted to create a product that could also be used indoors. The second product is one that it's kind of a fun story. When Dan and I engaged in this partnership, we did it and went to the Masters last year. So it was the first time he had been to Augusta. And so as we were walking the golf course, and I've often said that most amateur golfers like myself can hit a slice, and that's really the only shot shape they have, and they have to fit, you know, the golf course to your shot shape. And he said, well, we need to create a draw board. And we were on the 13th fairway at Augusta, where, you know, I'm sure you've been there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But on the slope, if you can't hit a draw, I guarantee you, if you're hitting the ball on that slope on number 13 at Augusta, you're going to hit maybe a snap hook, but it's definitely going to move from right to left as a right-handed golfer. So that's where the idea was born. And we created this board where it has a visual aspect to it, where you can see and feel the way to hit a draw. And and what we did is we added wedges underneath it so that it's a progression. So you can start at the easiest way, where the insert is 30 degrees. So you have to hit a hook.
Right.
So as you get through and progress, hit those shots and feel the sensation of hitting a draw and visualizing the swing path of a draw. Then you can move down and use a smaller wedge. And then eventually you're going to be hitting it flat on the ground and have a much bigger comfort level to learn how and hit a draw shot for those cases where you're playing golf and you have to bend something around a tree or you have to draw.
Right. Yeah. Hitting a draw for me, I've got a fade. If I hit a draw, it's by mistake. And, so how does it help you, you practice on it, and then how does it help you when you take that away and you're going out trying to hit a draw? It just kind of gives you the feel of it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, golf is about, it really is about repetition, right? Once you find a fix, and the way to incorporate that fix into your game is through practice and repetition.
Right.
So this product allows you to feel how to hit a draw and repeat it. And again, it's one of those things. And if you can't master it, you can go back to inserting the wedges so that you can actually see and feel and visualize that shot shape of a draw. So again, it's one of those things where it's a visualization and having that sensation of this is the right swing path to hit a draw.
Okay. So let's get back to the power shift. You said something earlier about swing, and that's probably one of my biggest errors when I start, you know, hitting the ball and I'm not sure where in the heck it's going. And you lose so much power and direction when you get into a sway. You've used it. Has it helped you with not swaying as much as you used to?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's one of those things where, again, golf is about practice and repetition. And the more I use it, and I had the original prototype here in my office, and And I'm on it almost daily. To, again, to make sure I can feel that transition. And, you know, it's, you know, for me, I got to a point and my driver was killing me. So
right.
And the problem is, you know, you get to the tee and you have all these thoughts going through your head. This product allowed me to simplify it and say, okay, you know, keep your weight on your backside, transfer it to your front side and belt towards the target.
Right.
And by having this product, it allowed me to do that without being on the range or without being at the golf course. Now this is a portable product. You can take it to the range. But by practicing it on here in the office, it has helped my game immensely. And it's, and it now has distilled rather than have all the thoughts going through my head when I get onto the first tee, it's really just one or two things that I process in my mind before I start to play.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that we have so much information and so many other avenues of getting information that the less we have in our head when we get up over the golf ball, the better, hopefully.
Yeah. And I'll add this too, Rich, There's a video out from Tommy Fleetwood, and this is one of the things that, you know, as we were going through this process of creating this product, I wanted to try to find videos of professional golfers that could kind of emulate what we're trying to do with this product.
Gotcha.
And if you go out and Google Tommy Fleetwood stamp drill, S-T-A-M-P,
okay.
You'll see how he uses his left leg, again, as a right-handed golfer, his left leg to use the ground as leverage to generate power.
Okay.
It's a really good video, and it helps. It's another way to visualize what this product can do for you and how it can help you.
Now, are these available now, John?
They are. So we had them on pre-order in the middle of November as we went into the holiday shopping season, but they're physically in our warehouse. We've shipped out, probably 50 of them in the first week. So it's already a pretty popular item. You know, if anybody wants it, they just have to go to golftrainingaids.com and look up Power Shift Board, and you'll be able to purchase it right there.
Yeah, and you've got so many things on there. You know, you've got indoor, outdoor, you've got putting help, you've got full swing, short game. I mean, you've got everything on there. You have really researched and developed quite a product line, as you know, but it's golftrainingaids.com. And the power shift and the draw board. Talk a little bit about, we've got about 3 minutes left, about the connector, how that helps you. Because I looked at that and I said, oh my gosh, I mean, that is something that just keeps you in that right position.
Yeah, it's really, Rich, it's a really popular product. And it's about, you know, keeping your body connected in the golf swing. And, you know, I use it for chipping. I mean, you can use it for full swing, you can use it for putting. You know, to me, the most effective way to use this tool is in chipping. A lot of people like to break down and are uncomfortable having that pendulum motion, that arc, and keeping your body connected. And this really helps with keeping you connected and being able to turn your body, not break your wrists, not break your arms, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's really, for me, I find it very effective for short game help. And it's, again, it's one of our most popular products. This is another product from Dan Frost and Sure Golf. So we're the exclusive distributor here in the U.S. Again, very popular product and probably our biggest seller for the holiday season.
How many people send you items that they think are the next thing for you to kind of, well, it's really not the next thing, but I'm glad you think so. But how many times do you get over the year, John, of items that these people think are the next thing?
Every day.
Every
day we have, we get inquiries, whether it's a video of a prototype or an idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, some of our best products have come through that avenue. The divot board is a perfect example.
Right, right.
The inventor of that product reached out to a lot of people, and one of those was us prior to us buying the company. But yeah, we get these concepts all the time. And you know, really, the if you think about it, the best inventors of training aid products are going to be teaching pros. They're the ones who are teaching amateur golfers. And they're the ones who come up with the ideas of, well, if we had a product that could do this, I could fix this person's swing.
Right.
This aspect of that person's swing.
Well, John, I can't thank you enough for being with us. GolfTrainingAids.com is the website. Go to it. A lot of things on there that can help you figure out what you need. And if not, I'm sure you've got folks that can help you. But John, Merry Christmas, and thanks for being with us.
Yeah, Rich, thanks again for having me. You've always been very, very generous with your time and allowing us to announce new products or changes with the company. So I greatly appreciate it. And yes, happy holidays to you and your family.
Welcome back to the Back Nine Boys podcast. I'm Rich Stiles. We're on the phone with Jim Ireland with Boxtoe. And Jim, tell us about Boxtoe.
So, Rich, thanks for having us. Boxtoe is an exciting new golf shoe brand, along with a belt brand that really focuses on somewhat the premium end of the market, but really traditional styling. I was introduced to it. I had a history with FootJoy, and my dad did preceding me. And last year at the PGA show, I had some customers come up to me and tell me, you should go see this line. It looks more like FootJoy looks than FootJoy looks.
Right.
And sure enough, it did. And through a strange series of coincidences, they approached me in April about doing some advisory work for them, and that's morphed into a little more of a role. But very traditional styling, leather upper, leather lined shoe, golf shoe predominantly, that's really kind of for the guy that's a traditionalist and the guy that appreciates leather lined and leather upper shoes. It really takes back to a day when quality footwear was made. And so it's really been a nice story.
When was it founded?
So we're 3 years old now.
Okay.
So, and an interesting business model trying to enter into the business. So the sort of the backstory is the question that everybody asks me is why? Who in the world needs another golf shoe manufacturer? Like a lot of things in golf. But unbeknownst to me at the time, Boxtoe was being produced and still is being produced in a town in Mexico by the name of León, Mexico, which arguably might be the second greatest city for manufacturing leather goods in the world, probably second to Milan, Italy.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's I didn't know. And I spent some time down there this year and saw it, and they were right. And so between craftsmanship in leather and León having a history of shoemaking, the founder, Raul Flores, who's a golf nut, as you can well imagine, and very successful entrepreneur and businessman in Mexico, wanted to try to bring back a traditional leather golf shoe and had not only the means, but in his hometown, the opportunity to be able to build that in a Mexican factory. And that's how the story started. And there was a big splash that started when we signed Jim Furyk. Also on board is Kurt Kitayama, winner at Bay Hill this year, and then Charlie Hull on the LPGA Tour, who is I was actually with 2 weeks ago, and is a fantastic personality. She's actually playing at the Grant Thornton as we speak, as a partner with Justin Rose. So we made a big splash in terms of Furyk. He was with us at the PGA show last year and tried to capture some people's attention. And now we've sort of shifted, even though those people are on board as ambassadors, now we're really working with golf shops and calling on those folks and trying to find a place for our product in those golf shops.
Okay. I guess the question that everybody has, and you kind of hit on it a little bit, how is Boxtoe different from the competitors in the marketplace? I mean, you worked with FootJoy for such a long time. You know a lot about their products and what they do in their line. So what's the differentiation?
Yeah, it's a great question, Rich. And I think that there's two things that I tend to focus on with customers that I would share with you and the people listening. And that would be that first and foremost, it is very traditional styling, but that leather upper, leather lined with a 2-year waterproof guarantee to it is not being made in the marketplace. You've got FootJoy with the premier shoe that's very successful and really kind of there's some sentimentality with that with me because when I was at FootJoy, it was all about classics made in the Brockton factory.
Right.
You've got G4 out there. You've got Duca del Cosmo. You've got Royal Albatross. But none of those shoes are made with a leather-lined upper to it. And so the difference becomes that leather over time molds to your foot much more than a synthetic product will. And ultimately, that makes the shoe incredibly comfortable. And you combine that with a waterproof capability for 2 years, and now we've got something, as I try to phrase it to people, we've got traditional styling with modern technology that the waterproof component brings to it.
Okay. And I mean, product, a lot out there, you differentiate, mm-hmm. you said, and you're working with Kurt and you're working with Jim Furyk. How do you target, I guess, some of the pros, whether they're PGA or Korn Ferry or LPGA? What are you looking for in that person to represent your line?
Yeah, and it really is about quality of individual. You know, we factor in all the metrics and the data about, you know, when you know, person's track record, obviously Furyk, you know, multiple PGA Tour winner, US Open winner, right. Shot the only player that shot under sub 60 competitively twice. And just a phenomenal human being. Right. I didn't know Jim much prior to being here, and he's better than you would expect as an individual. The predictability of somebody and their ability to win and then gain that brand exposure is sometimes I feel like you ought to buy a lottery ticket instead. I had a CEO ask me one time with a clothing company, should we sign this guy? Is he going to win? And I said, you're asking the wrong guy the wrong question, because PGA Tour is a very difficult place to play golf,
right.
and win. And so it really comes down to quality of the individual and then their acceptance of what we're doing from a product standpoint, as well as their engagement. You know, Charlie Hull is an amazing, amazing, amazing story on the LPGA Tour. Charlie left school at 13 and over in England and wanted nothing more in life than to be a golf professional. And 10 years into it now at 27 with a couple of wins under her belt, and I think now 8th ranked women's player in the world, but is a complete golf professional. And we were with her shooting some content for social media 2 weeks ago, and I've got a couple of great stories from that, but she was an incredible professional. In terms of the way she wanted to respond to the brand at Boxtel. And that's the kind of person you're looking for, whether it's Furyk or Kitayama. If you get lucky, they win. If you get lucky, they expose your brand. But at the same time, when you get a chance to work with the best players in the world and they're very professional about how they conduct that relationship, that's the win.
Yeah. Well, tell us one of those stories about Charlie, if you can.
Yeah, I just told the story a little earlier today with a friend of mine. So this was the Monday after the CME Globe, and she was tired. And I knew she was tired. You could tell by looking at her, she was tired. This was a Monday, I guess the Monday of Thanksgiving. And so we did an interview with her. You'll see all this come out on social media if you follow her on her social media sites or ours at Boxtel Golf. And so we did sat down. I did the interview with her. Then we did some still shots with her in the shoes. And I knew she was tired. And I said, hey, look, I got to have you just hit like 8 or 10 drivers. That's all I need. We'll get everything we need from that. And I said, do you want to go ahead and hit balls and warm up a little bit? She says, nope, I got it. Don't worry about it. Okay. All right. I realize you're a golf professional, but I also understand it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And I forgot, I think, that she was 27. Regardless, we go to the first tee. We were at Bear Lakes, and the GM and the staff there were incredible hosts to us. So we stand on the first or the 18th tee, and I've got the golf balls in my hand, and she stands up and hits the first one and rips it down the middle with about a 2-yard draw. And then she proceeded to hit the next six, probably all within 5 yards of them. And I kind of looked at her and I said, yeah, I guess you didn't. It was a wow. And I said, yeah, I guess you didn't need a warm up. And with a UK accent that I cannot do, she said to me, she goes, well, I am a golf professional, you know. And it was a really nice moment. I can't say enough good things about Charlie Hall, her agent, Vicky Cummings with IMG. They were incredible to us that day. And I mean, hey, she left. She was with us from 8 to noon and left there for an all afternoon session with TaylorMade. So little insight into a golf professional's day coming off of a very strenuous week of tour championship at the CME Globe.
Right. Well, what's been some of the feedback from Furyk and obviously Charlie and Kurt?
Yeah, well, good. I mean, you know, you go into these things and as you're starting to build the company and build a golf shoe line or any kind of product line, the ultimate acceptance is with the best players in the world. Furyk was easy. Jim put the shoes on for the first time, a year ago, November, down at TPC Sawgrass. And fell in love with him. Loved the style, loved the fit, loved everything about it. And he did some incredible things for us at the PGA show, did an interview with CNBC, did an interview with the Golf Channel, because he's the upcoming President's Cup captain. And he got a lot of publicity and did not hesitate to mention who he's sponsored by, who he works with, and who he feels strongly about. Kitayama, you couldn't make this story up in a million years. We had Kurt under contract early in the year. We finally got him some shoes, literally the Monday of the Bay Hill event, the MasterCard event, and he put the shoes on and he won. And I would dearly love to tell you that it had 100% to do with the shoes and nothing to do with anything else. But candidly, we got lucky. And sometimes in trying to build a business, I spent some time with FootJoy. I spent some long time with the Greg Norman Collection and Greg himself. I spent some time now helping brands start. Sometimes you need luck on your side. And the luck of, if you will, of Kurt winning at Bay Hill, which he was massively qualified to do. But the first week he had our shoes on, that's the kind of thing I can't make up.
Yeah.
And he's been a terrific ambassador. We were with him about a month ago plus out in Las Vegas, again, trying to shoot some content. We're doing a contest people could find out about on Kitayama's Instagram site, our Instagram site. We'd love to have a winner come off of the Rich Style Show and the Back Nine Boys. And
wouldn't that be nice?
And host them in Vegas for some golf and a fun couple of days. And then Charlie's been a little more of a work in progress. And I mean that in a very good way. I've been around a fair amount of tour players through the day and they should be picky about their equipment. I've got a son that plays in Asia and a little bit Korn Ferry Tour. And I understand the pickiness. I get it. This is their job. And so Charlie's been very specific on some of her needs relative to arch support, springiness of the sole, a couple different things. And so we've had a fair amount of conversation and prototypes made for her. Every one of those dialogues I've taken away from that is, first of all, she knows exactly what she wants. And I mean that in a positive way. And second of all, it'll make us a better shoe company in the long run. And people inside our organization have said, well, wait a minute, she's 27. And, you know, how does she know about making golf shoes? And I said, she doesn't know about making golf shoes, but she knows what works for her.
Right.
And she's very talented at playing the game of golf. We need to take that feedback and listen to it. And in large case, she's right about some things. And so kind of a culmination of Furyk being a great ambassador straight out of the box, Kitayama having a little bit of luck associated with it, and then us as a brand being able to partner with Charlie and be able to piggyback and learn off of what she wants on the golf course. That's a pretty good combination of three people to work with.
Yeah. Well, you said you had a contest going with Kurt. Give us how people can enter.
Yeah, it's actually very simple. You got to go to Instagram, follow Boxtoe, follow Kurt Kitayama. The instructions on how to go from there are all on their our Instagram site and Kurt's Instagram site. And then we're going to host three other people with Kurt in Vegas for a day of golf and airfare, travel, hotel, all the dinner, the whole deal. And Kurt will answer probably every question that they've got and more, because he's again, a wonderful human being. And I don't mean to sound like we only sign wonderful human beings, but we got three pretty good ones.
Yeah. I mean, you've obviously done some history and some research on those. Where can Boxtoe products be bought?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, they're all great questions, Rich, but at the end of the day, we do like doing business. And the easiest place is on boxtoegolf.com online. And hate to make a shameless plug, but we are doing a free belt along with shoes and free shipping for the holidays. And then over the next year, you'll start to see us in better golf shops across the country. We've been able to bring on board some of the best and most talented and experienced golf sales reps that are out in the marketplace. They and I have had a long association through golf, and they're right here with us hand in hand. Guys like Dean Middleton in New York and John Adams in California and Gary Martin in Arizona and Northern California, and guys, Justin Small in Florida, guys that are really talented people that have great relationships with golf clubs. And candidly, they're just asking for the business, and that's a very difficult thing to do. But that's how we're going to make this thing successful, by really going to one golf course at a time and asking them to give us a chance.
Yeah, but I think that's a great way to do it face to face. I really do. Not a lot of people are doing that anymore in these days, but I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's the only way that I know. Unfortunately, I mean, as a friend of mine says, I've been down the road before, and there was a gentleman, we talked before we got on and started this for a minute, and there's a gentleman that, as all of us are getting older, by the name of Ernie Sabrak, who Ernie's long passed away, and Ernie is he's the godfather of golf sales in a golf shop, and every golf sales rep, every manufacturing company, and every golf professional should be indebted to Ernie Sabrak, because he was the guy who got in his car with some brands, Ben Hogan Company, the FootJoy way back in the beginning, and a clothing company, and walked into a golf shop and said, you need to be a retailer. Your members are here. You ought to be able to sell product to them instead of pushing them to a department store at the time a sporting goods store where they were buying their merchandise. And that's how this business started.
All right. One more question. PGA Show, you going next year?
Who's 44, 55. This will be number 43 in a row officially.
Wow. Good record.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Terry Sweeney used to be with the PGA. We used to have a running joke. To my dad and I, we've missed six, going all the way back to the cars in a circle in Palm Beach Gardens. So very excited about it. The show continues to gain steam post-COVID. And anybody that's listening that's going to come by, say hello, shake my hand, and I'll be glad to tell them more about Boxtoe.
All right, Jim Ireland, thank you with Boxtoe. Appreciate you being with us.
Anytime, Rich. And if you would like to, you don't know anything about this, but if one of your listeners, you figure out how to pull one out from a call or an email, whatever else, that would like to experience Boxtoe shoes, I'm happy to send them a pair of shoes and a belt and stay in touch with them and get some feedback.
Awesome. We'll work on it. We'll make it happen. Thanks, Jim.
Enjoy the holidays.
All right, you too. And welcome back to the Back Nine Boys podcast. I'm Rich Stiles. How is your putting? Mine is kind of up and down. But our next guest, Phil Kenyon, director of putting at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, is with us. And Phil, putting is such an up and down thing to do during your round. One day to the next, one hole to the next, it's never the same. Why is that?
That's a strange question, Rich, really. I mean, for some people, it can be like that. And then for others, they find it easier. So not entirely sure how to answer that. I mean, golf's up and down in itself, isn't it? As sport can be. But I think ultimately, the better your processes are, the better understanding you have of you know, what you do, your tendencies and how to manage them, then what we're all looking to do is to manage the up and down nature of the game to make it more consistent. But if you don't have a clue what you're doing and it's very ad hoc in your approach, then you're more open to any part of the game being up and down.
Yeah, good point. Phil, is it more common now for people to go through putting fittings than it used to be?
I think so. I think fitting is becoming a lot more prevalent in the game. I think putter fitting has been a bit behind full swing fitting in its popularity, but I think I'd certainly come across more people now that are willing to get fitted, rightfully so. Obviously, it has a big impact on a lot of different things. You know, it can influence your aim. A putter can certainly kind of match up better to your stroke tendencies, etc. So exploring that, I think, is an important part, and I do see more people taking it seriously.
Bill, what do you see as some of the most common putting mistakes that most golfers have?
Very broad question, really, Rich. I mean, there's a lot of different mistakes that you see. I'd say the biggest reason for the mistakes that you see is people don't take lessons and don't understand what they're doing. As a consequence, you see a whole wide range of mistakes which aren't managed. You know, people have issues starting the ball online. People have issues not being able to read greens particularly well. People have issues not being able to control speed. But then they don't know how to manage that because a lot of golfers don't take instruction well and try and manage these things on their own without having without being qualified well enough or having access to the right information. So I think the biggest thing I think the average golfer can do is, if they're looking to improve, is find out what they do, take a lesson, get a plan based around trying to improve the facets of their game, spend less time on YouTube, less time reading golf magazines with generic tips, less time listening to podcasts looking for the secret, and more time invested in personalized instruction.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. There's so much information out there from so many different places and people. It's really hard and can really, as you say, stop some of that, but it can really get you in a bad place. And I think what you suggested was just put all that aside, go get a fitting and figure out what you're doing wrong and try and correct it at that point.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say fitting, but just get, find a good instructor that you can get, that you get on well with, who's, got a good CV, who you've got trust in their coaching ability. And it's not going to happen overnight with one lesson. It's going to take a series of lessons with a good practice plan. And then you can improve and start to appreciate, what you do and manage it. But other than that, it's, if you don't have a consistent process, you're not going to get a consistent outcome. So it's more in the approach. If you're looking for success, become more consistent golfer, whatever it is, then you need to evaluate the processes that underlie it.
Is a routine going into your putt just as important, Phil, as it is going into your shot to the green or shot to the fairway? I mean, do people need to have a putting routine?
What would you think, Rich?
I would say yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think putting is, obviously, it's a very important skill. It defines every score on every hole. It's the last shot on every hole. And also, I think there's a huge mental element to putting as a skill, probably more than any other part of the game. The fine motor skill. So certainly your nervous system and the state of your nervous system is very important in terms of tapping into your physical skills, technical skills. So I think your pre-shot routine is really important in terms of getting your mind prepared. And through having your mind prepared, then you're going to best tap into your physical execution. So pre-shot routines are important, I think, throughout all of the bag, and you know, more so in putting.
So, Phil, somebody comes to the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. Tell us about the process that you would go through with a golfer that was coming in that wanted to improve their putting.
Well, the main thing what we try and do at Sea Island is to get a very thorough and complete evaluation of what the golfer does to start with. You know, I mentioned just a minute ago, you've got three skills as a golfer: start the ball online, control your speed, and read a green. So we'll analyze the golfer around how well they perform, how well those skills match. We use various aspects of technology to help do that. Indoors, we've got a movable green, so we can analyze a player across all different types of slope. We use different analysis tools to capture data and how the player moves, how the putter's moving, etc. And then from kind of gathering all that data, assessing the player, then we'll pass an opinion on what we feel that they could do better personally. You know, how could they become a better version of themselves? It's not trying to match someone into a particular method or style, but more about trying to develop those skills for that golfer based on what they do already and what would be the quickest and most efficient way to do that. So we spend obviously time indoors in the studio, but also times outdoor, particularly when it comes down to the green reading component, outdoor on a green, working through the processes that you know you do to try and help someone develop green reading. But it's very, our ethos is very much around trying to improve the person, and it'd be a very personalized approach to putting.
Do most people miss left or right, or does it's probably not a great question because it depends if the putt is, you know, left to right or right to left, but where do most putters miss?
Yeah, that's not really a question you can answer, really. I mean, you're either going to miss it left or right. That could be overhead, underhead. I mean, generally people will have their own patterns. There's a lot said about amateur golfers typically missing low, underread and break. Often okay. That can be the case. I'd say if anything, they'll underread break. But you could underread a left to right putt and still miss it left because you've pulled it so much, you've offset any of that underread. So again, you know, you can look at averages and try and sort of devise what do people do. And you very often can't draw any conclusions out of that they're going to help you. You know, everyone's different. We'll have our own patterns as to what we do, where our misses could be. But people don't spend enough time analyzing those, looking at what they do individually then to help them. So, and it's certainly difficult to draw out conclusions across a huge population.
All right. Some of the amateurs golfers that we have here at Sea Island, you know, they go out and warm up. How long would you recommend that they be on the putting green warming up prior to their round?
Well, it can really depend on what time you have available. You know, as a recreational golfer myself, you know, sometimes just having, you know, the opportunity to get out and have nine holes, and that's the only sort of 2 hours I'm going to get all week. The opportunity to warm up could be quite limited. If you had an ideal scenario, if you could have 10 to 15 minutes out on a green before you can go out, there's a lot that you can do. You know, I think it's particularly important to get a feel for the speed of the green. One of the big things that impacts that is the slope that you're on. So, you know, practicing different putts across different slopes will help sort of fine-tune your feel for speed. And then obviously when you get out there, that's going to help, you know, manage three putts. You know, I'd say a lot of three putts come from poor speed control on approach putts. So, yeah, really does depend, you know, what limitations you have. But if you're in an ideal world, if you've got all the time in the world, if you can get 15 minutes before you go out and play, then I think you can do some good work there to allow you to get the most out of your game that day.
Now, I've read, and I know I'm falling back into that, but I've read that some instructors prefer that you just take one ball out on the putting green to practice, and then I've seen some people with three. Do you have an opinion of that, of how many balls they should take out on the putting green to practice?
Two. No, I'm only kidding. You said one and three, so I thought I'd go in between and say two.
Yeah.
I think there's different elements to practice, really. So you've got, if you're working on technique, then having, you can afford to be slightly more blocked in your practice. That could involve hitting more than one putt from one point in time, from one place. But I think, an important part of practice is trying to be as varied and random as possible. And I think that's where the notion of having one ball, uh-huh. it's not really the amount of balls you have in your pocket. It's how you use those balls. So, I could go on the green with one ball and practice really poorly. I could go on the green with three balls and practice really well. I think the key thing to understand is, do you have enough variability and randomness to your practice so that you're not always hitting the same putt, two, three, four times, as many different putts that you can hit across different slopes, different distances. That's important in trying to develop skill, regardless of the ball count.
You said earlier that there were, some most common putting mistakes. And one of those that you really want to work on is distance. And that is something, when I go out putting, I'm trying to get better at getting my distance down to my putting, obviously trying to make the putts, but also trying to see how close to the reed and to the hole that I can get, so I don't have such a long putt for the next one.
Yeah. Sorry, is that a question?
Yeah. I was trying to make it a question. I probably didn't do it, but yeah.
Sorry. No. So go on, run that by me again, Rich. I'll let you ask that one again.
One of the things that I'm trying to work on when I go out to practice putting is my distance. So I don't have a long second putt, after that. So to me, one of the most important things for me when I go out there is just to practice my distance to make sure that I'm getting into the hole, whether it be left or right or uphill or downhill. Would you agree?
Distance, your ability to control distance is important because, you have to match your speed to an intended line. So that's distance control, speed control. And then you obviously from distance, a large number of three putts come from poor approach putts. So from distance, you have to be able to judge the speed accurately to help you leave the ball as close to the hole as possible.
Right.
And for a lot of amateur golfers, once they start to get outside of 20 feet, they're getting, at a PGA Tour level, once you get to 32 feet, I think it is, outside of that, they've got more chance of three putting than single putting. Obviously, that value is going to be a lot closer to the hole for the recreational golfer. So there's going to be a point where you've got more chance of three putting than one putting, somewhere between 20 and 30 feet. So clearly then, just being able to lag it close, getting the speed down, it becomes very, very important. So the speed control is it's a massive skill, and there are different ways you can go about practicing it. And there's different underlying reasons as to why someone might not be very good at it.
Right.
So the golfer really needs to establish is what the underlying reasons that may prevent me having good speed control, and how could I practice those? Could be something to do with your technique. See a lot of golfers who don't really adjust their backswing length for different lengths of putt. They'll just like stab at it harder. There's a lot of golfers who don't hit it out the middle of the club face. Whatever it is that's preventing good distance control, you need to address that. But then also, you need to be able to practice in a way that's helping you encourage the development of that skill, you know, right. The skill in itself of like being able to control the end product and ball speed wise. So it's an important area that you need to, yeah, break down and approach correctly.
All right. One last question. Was it awkward at the Ryder Cup for you to be working with both the U.S. and the European team?
It was a little different from previous experiences. Obviously, it was the first time I'd been involved working with players from both sides. So, it felt a little strange, but for the most part, the players are really good about it. You got, you know, a few comments by fans or, you know, people on social media and stuff like that. And, you know, the odd quip by the caddy and stuff. But, I mean, ultimately, you're there as a professional or you're there in a professional capacity, just doing your job to the best of its abilities. And the players appreciate that because they're doing the same. So in that respect, no, it never really caused any issues. And ultimately, as much as, you know, I was there working with both players, that, you know, the US players I worked with, they knew my allegiance, in terms of like to the European side. And I was hoping that they were going to put well, but they'd get beat. And they knew that. But it was fine. I think they, hopefully they respected my professional approach to it. I certainly appreciated theirs. And hopefully, you know, it's not the last time it happens.
I'm sure it's not. Phil, thank you for being with us. It's always a pleasure. When are you coming back to see Alan?
It's going to obviously home in the UK, Christmas and early into Jan. And then I'm going to be back on the island some point in February. And looking forward to it.
Okay, we will see you then. Phil, thank you for being with us.
Cheers, Rich. Good to speak to you again. And have good Christmas.
All right, you too, Phil. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.